Motion by Jeff, second by Wade, be resolved that council receives items 1 to 5 under 8.0 consent agenda as presented circulated. Is there anything in there you'd like to discuss? Seeing none, all in favor? So motion by Walter, second by Jeff, be resolved that council town Shelburne supports resolutions from the Shelburne Police Service Board and the Amerant Police Service Board to have POA court serving the county Dufferin remain in the county Dufferin. And further, that moving the POA court from Dufferin to Callan will result in considerable increases in policing costs and the loss of police presence in the town Shelburne. And that a copy of this motion be forwarded to MPP Sylvia Jones, Ministry of the Attorney General of Ontario, and all municipalities in the county Dufferin. Any discussion on it? All in favor? Carried. A motion moved by Randy, second by Steve.
You guessed it is mine.
Be resolved that council supports and authorizes the Center Dufferin Recreation Complex to apply for the Ontario Sports and Recreation Communities Fund. Any discussion?
Any more discussion on it?
Can you just give a little bit of?
Yeah, or I can talk to it.
Okay.
So we wrote a grant proposal last year, basically to enhance our day camp that we run at the CDRC in the summer, which is a great program, started from scratch, really evolved. So the opportunity from this funding group within the province to get some additional money to enhance the program. Last year we weren't successful, and it's a big speech that I've ever had from the province. The province came back and said, well, your application wasn't very good, but here's how we can help you, which was great. And we knew our application last time, we did it last second, didn't have a lot of time, not staff's fault or anybody's fault, just the last second. So the representative from the Ministry of Action came out and said, here's how you're writing the grant proposal, reached out what we do to help you, gave us some examples. And so from that, the CDRC committee's working on it, Dan, myself, Walter, and Chris from Amarant, in terms of putting together a proposal. So we're trying to write a grant proposal to this funding organization to enhance the day camp program, maybe something cool as well, but just to make our program more robust, more available to others. They're all about capacity. How can you increase your capacity for handling this type of thing? So we found out through the conversations that CDRC is not really a legal entity that can apply for this grant. It has to be a municipality. And that's why we reached out to Carol or Carrie or Jennifer to find that out. Yes, it has to be the town shelter to apply. So CDRC is asking that the town will sponsor or be the official vehicle for our application to this grant program. I don't think it would hinder anything the town wishes to do, but it's something I think we could build upon. And Dan and I have had some conversations about this, something the town can build on next year for some other programs, and this will be a learning curve for us just with the CDRC perspective. So that's the long and short of it. The proposal hasn't been written yet, we don't have it, but we need your go ahead to start the process. Wait. Any questions?
Nope.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor? Service and the nearly 140 years of tradition that it represents. Whereas council has received a report from the Police Accommodation Subcommittee dated November 27, 2017, outlining options for new police accommodations, all of which are estimated to cost in excess of $5 million. And whereas council has a responsibility to ratepayers to ensure that public funds are spent in a responsible manner, and that major decisions are made only after considering all the relevant facts and options. Now therefore be resolved, the council formally requests costing from the OPP and instruct staff to take necessary steps to initiate that process. Open the floor for this.
The motion, I mean, essentially speaks for itself, but I have prepared a few remarks, so I'll go through those. First of all, I just want to make sure that it's crystal clear that this motion is in no way intended to cast any sort of negative light on the shelter and police service. To the contrary, in fact, I think everybody agrees that the level of service we enjoy is exemplary. And I think that's probably the one common theme that has run through any of the dialogue that I've had with anybody over the past week. People in Shelburne know, trust, and respect our service. Unfortunately, policing is an expensive business, though, and that's only magnified when you have to consider a multi-million dollar building. Secondly, this motion does not advocate for a transition to OPP. It's important to make that clear because I do think that there's some misinformation out there that, you know, if this motion is successful, that somehow is going to put us on a irreversible path towards a transition to OPP, and that couldn't be further from the case. The simple act of obtaining a cost, which is all that this motion does not mean that we are disbanding our local police force, not at all. If council approves the motion tonight, which I hope it does, we are simply taking a step to gather more information before we make a decision that will have an enormous financial impact on our ratepayers. The costing will simply arm us with more information to work with before we make a major multi-million dollar decision on behalf of taxpayers. This motion is not about hidden agendas, it's not about ulterior motives, it's simply about getting more information. So I would ask council to try to be somewhat clinical about this, and as best we can as human beings, try to remove the emotion from the equation. Let's try to treat this accommodation issue the same way we would treat any other multi-million dollar project. Take our time, do our due diligence, transparently gather as much information as we can, and put it out in the open so that when we are faced with a decision, we can make the best possible decision based on all of the facts. As elected officials, we have a responsibility to make tough decisions, there's no question about that. But I also think that we have a responsibility to convey information openly and honestly to our constituents so that they can make informed choices and decisions themselves. And no matter what decision we make, or fact of the matter is, not everybody's going to agree with us, and that's fine. That's what we've signed up for. And I'm prepared to accept criticism from anybody who disagrees with me. What I'm not prepared to do, however, is be criticized for turning a blind eye and trying to tackle a complicated and costly decision while willfully ignoring some key facts. We've been entrusted with the positions that we have here around this table, and whether we like it or not, on this issue, I don't think we have the luxury of leading from behind. So let's try to keep things in perspective when it comes to the decision before us tonight, and let's not jump down the road too far. Once the costing's obtained, there will be ample opportunity to have a real and substantive debate out in the open with members of the public. We might even have an opportunity to place this as a ballot plebiscite next fall. That's an option. If we obtain a costing, we'll have a chance to go to the public, though, with all of the facts. And at that point, we can gauge public opinion not based on innuendo and assumptions and half-truths, but on facts and on information. So let's try to do that so that we're not trying to gauge public opinion, you know, as I say, based on innuendo. I think to try to do that at this point would be premature and self-defeating. And I was thinking about it today, I mean, I would like to try to study for an exam while reading half of your textbook. So to close, I just want to quote a text message I actually received tonight when I was just getting home from work from one of our constituents. And he said, I'm a town cop guy, but this is also a community taxpayer's decision, and they need to know the choices. So on behalf of the taxpayers, I would ask council to do the right thing and give them that informed choice.
Okay. Is there any other discussion? Randy and then Walter?
And just to clarify things, or try to clarify things a bit, I know the last time we had this discussion, maybe a year ago, 10 months ago, or whatever, I believe there was a queue in regards to OPP costing, and we didn't think that we'd be on an agenda for at least 18 months based upon what was going on. I understand that's changed. Can either the mayor or CAO explain the time frame now that we're talking about?
Certainly, and if CAO is comfortable, I'll allow you research the information for us.
So. So the queue process has been done away with, and assume if council were to vote this evening for an OPP costing, once the letter is received by the minister, the process becomes immediate. First up on the agenda, they will be here shortly to assess accommodations. That they used to leave that to the end, now it's the first thing. So they'll look at this, at our facility. Can they use it, yes or no? They'll look at the Primrose facility. Can it accommodate us, yes or no? Can it accommodate us with a small expansion? Or does Shelburne need to actually go forward and build its own OPP police station just for Shelburne? After that, the process keeps accelerating. And they gave us a time frame from the start of the process until the swearing in of our officers, 18 months. So obviously, and that includes a 6-month decision-making process for council to examine. So if you don't take 6 months to make a decision, then shorten that time frame by 1 month for every month you don't use up.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, thank you. Walter?
My question is, even though we're going forward with an OPP costing, are we still going forward on a parallel track? Because if we go by plebiscite or whatever methodology and decide the decision is not to go OPP, then we're stuck with still having the issue of the police accommodation. So is it something that we go forward on a parallel track if successful with the OPP costing and still looking at accommodating the current situation that we have with the police? Because if we don't do that, then we might find ourselves in some kind of a problem at the end of the day. So I guess that's the question I have.
Okay. Madam CAO.
So that's the question that many municipalities have had, and that is why the whole accommodations issue is brought to the beginning and not the end of the process. So you will know what your accommodation requirements are right up front. So if we were to have to build, you will know that within a few months after this process starts. So you could then start that planning process.
That's yes. With the OPP.
Yes. But
we need to do something even if we don't go OPP, right?
But you would have a couple of months, and you would have at least that decision-making process, the requirements of accommodation. So even if you go OPP, it doesn't eliminate the need for a station necessarily. And there would be some differences in requirements, but I think, Chief, that the basic requirements are all there, which you would need. So. And just to note, Walter, that that on the chart last week, if you looked at it, to move forward, you need to identify and have in your possession, whether it be town owned or purchased, a piece of property. So that would be your very first step, because you couldn't even start any kind of engineering or architectural process until that land was obtained. So that would be your first step, and that would be a few months into the process. And then you would start the architectural, and depending if you phase that, you would eat up more of the time, because the process when you actually receive the costing is quite short. So you could have those things if you're willing to expend the money and risk losing that money. And those ranges would be between $500,000 to $750,000 for architectural and engineering.
Yeah, I was just going to say briefly, I mean, I think it's important to keep in mind, it's looking at the three options we were presenting with last week, they range from 5.3 million and up. So, it's not as though we have that kind of money lying around that we could throw into our budget right away anyway. So I don't think we're really going to be losing any time when going through this process.
Okay, great.
Two quick things. So one is, and I spoke to Carrie and Carol but today about the impact, and so just so it's clear to everybody, the impact of a $5+ million new police accommodation will be in the area of like a 20% increase on our policing budget and 6% on our tax overall, is that correct? So roughly, just to give you the scheme of things. So again, if we were to do this accommodation, upgrade the accommodation for the police, it's a 6% increase in tax. Doesn't say if we decide to go OPP, we may have to do the same thing anyways, as Carol mentioned, so it can happen no matter what. But I guess my point is, and a little bit along Walter's path as well, is I would like to see, I know we've had the draft budget, talked about the budget, what I would probably like to see is dedicate some dollars in that budget to the police accommodation reserve to note our commitment towards doing that and going down the dual paths. I know we have a certain amount of money going into general capital, but I think it might be prudent for us as a council to put some money aside into police accommodation, reserve, to handle those type of things that may arise next year should we deem to go that way. So that's not really impacting the tax rate or the tax base, it's just moving some dollars we have from general reserves into a police-specific reserve. Those are my thoughts.
Well, a couple of things, I guess. As Wade said, I mean, I think we've been blessed. I mean, I think community policing is the way to go, and I think it should be maintained, if not expanded. And I think we've been blessed with a high degree of competency and service and visibility, which I think is important. I think the sole focus of the police department in Shelburne is on the town of Shelburne. So in terms of visibility and response times, I think they rate really highly. But I guess the only thing I'd be also asking to consider, there are lots of other options and issues, outstanding issues that I think we should consider as well. I mean, just going through the media and talking to people, I hear talking about the Dufferin solution, made a Dufferin solution for perhaps the town of Shelburne. Deals with the town of Orangeville. We're all aware that we've been asked to do a costing for Melanchthon. So I think we should consider those things and perhaps something even broader. We already have three or four options in terms of the building ahead of us that we need to design. Thinking back to the CDRC, I know that we had an architect and a proposal which seemed quite expensive, and what we did is we in fact went in a different, more cost-effective and successful option. My understanding is that the fire department perhaps may be coming to us for a new, perhaps we should be teaming up with police and fire together. To say. And the other thing is, I guess, my understanding is that we don't really have the funding to move ahead for the next couple of years. So that there is time to make a decision. I just think all those things maybe point to not rushing in and making a decision tonight. So I think you're right, Wade. We do need to be informed, but I think we need to be informed about all those other things as well before making that decision.
Okay.
I hear what Jeff's saying, and in a lot of ways I agree with it. On the other hand, I don't think we do have a lot of time. So we've been aware of the issue of a deficiency in our police accommodations now for probably a year and a half, and we've sat for a year and a half and really not done anything. And we've done some stuff, we've had some committees, we've done some studies, and we're back where we were a year and a half ago. And so I think inaction is not a good thing either. I do agree with a multi-pronged approach, and let's look at all our options. And you know, and the gut in me and the Shelburne resident in me, and having worked with the chief and been on the police services board, yeah, damn right I want to keep the local police. But the financial analyst in me, what I do as a job, tells me I got to look at all the options. I got to do what's most cost effective. So I still don't even know which way I'm going to go tonight, to be quite honest. But it's a tough decision for all of us, right? But we do have to make some progress somewhere. We can't sit here forever. We got to show some progress. And I do think one of the things that you mentioned about, a made and different solution and all those type of things, but I think that would preclude you from doing an OPP costing, because as I read some of the documents today, that's the only thing you'd be looking at that point in time. You can't be looking at other options while you've asked for a costing. And Mike, one quick question to staff would be, except saying, so what's the downside of asking for a costing? Because in the end, we're going to make a decision based upon all the facts that we get. But I'm interested in knowing how much time would it take on behalf of staff to, because it could be a lot of work, I would imagine, for the OPP coming and, having to talk to the chief and the CAO and all that kind of stuff. So I see quite a bit of work on staff plate, along with what we hear tonight about CAO recruitment and all that kind of stuff. Because I hate to go down the costing path, and in the end, I think I'm not going to vote for OPP anyways. But I just want to know, is staff, is it going to be like hundreds and hundreds of hours of work, or do you view this as an easy task in terms of accommodating a study? Tough question, maybe, Carol, but I'm just after your gut feeling on this.
Well, we've never been down this path before, really,
right.
So it is hard to say. So it would be fairly daunting, don't get me wrong, but I think that we're pretty organized. We have a lot of financial data. We have a lot of other data. So as long as senior staff is dedicated to this project, if we receive council direction to carry on, then we will make the time. And whether that means that some of the junior staff will have the opportunity to take on other jobs in order to accommodate it, then so be it. It's a good experience.
Thank you.
Okay. Clerk has passed me a note here. I'll direct it to Wade because you were the one that brought it up in your comments. And it says, to place a question on the ballot for next election, the deadline is March 1st, 2018, and we must hold a public meeting 10 days prior to passing a bylaw. And it must be a simple yes or no question. So just provide that as information. Okay. Ready?
So this is a side question. Because I don't remember having it on a Shelburne ballot. Is that binding in any way, or is that just an indication of support or non-support for what's on the ballot?
It's not
binding. Okay. Just a way of garnering interest or the will of the people.
Any other discussion? So I have a few notes. Mine are a little hard to read because they were written mostly in the dark because I lied awake for the last four evenings. Because the weight of this situation is not lost on me. And so, they're in no particular order, but I just want to bring them up, and maybe we can generate some discussion or questions out of that, or dismiss it if you want. But as I understand through previous conversations, even if we wanted to go ahead with the police station tonight, we couldn't. We don't have the funds available till, I'm saying 2019, is that correct, or is it 2020? If we want to borrow the money, it's somewhere up there.
Yes.
And then I'm saying it's going to be another year to get this thing designed and built. So we're talking 2020, 2021. And in what will change in that amount of time? We know we have tremendous commercial development
to vote to start and vote to begin. And I think with that, you know, there'll be some new funding opportunities. It won't just be borne on the residential taxpayer. Of course, we won't know until we get there. There's a few things we don't know. For instance, there's a provincial election in June of 2018. We have obviously our municipal election in October of next year. Probably what we don't know, or what most of us don't know, is that there's a new police act coming out. This is expected the first quarter of 2018. Correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, that's the province is hoping to get that. It's already passed legislation. They want it in our hands prior to that provincial election. We don't know what that act's going to say. Right now it contains a lot of you may or you shoulds, and we don't know, but we do expect that a lot of those competencies and mentions of how you provide police service being changed to you must and you shall. So those are just a number of things that we don't know. We also know that we have an aging fire station. It was built in 1982, and maybe we should be looking 20 years in the future, 25 years in the future, and developing some kind of facility that could potentially house both, or at least have an opportunity to add on to that, or consider it in the future. As you know, I sit on the police services board, and I remember having a conversation with the chief saying, you know what, the only way to secure, in my mind, the future of Shelburne Police is to expand our service, not reduce it. And to do that, that means providing service to our neighbors. I heard that Melanchthon has been mentioned. I know I've shared conversations with the Orangeville mayor, just talking. Those kind of things, but we have to investigate them further, and we haven't done that. Right now, as we all know, our population is 8,500. Years ago, when I joined council, our projection was 10,000. Our projection now is 14,000. I don't know if we'll ever get there, but 14,000 to me means more cops, not less. And the last one I have is who knows what, if there's a new government in the summer and we're waiting until 2020 or 2021, who knows what grant opportunities could potentially come around in that amount of time. And those are just the questions in my mind. I know that the motion talks about, and Wayne spoke to it, about getting all the facts, and 18 months ago I supported that. But these questions that I have and that come up with at 2 and 3 in the morning is just the questions that are underlying this motion that we will fail to answer until that time comes.
Again, I agree with you, Your Worship. It does weigh on the mind, and I agree with Jeff. We haven't explored the fact of a major effort solution at all. We haven't even looked at something of that nature there. You talked about it, because that is another opportunity that we have. Working with our neighbors, spreading the cost down a little bit further, and having a police system that works. With the fact, and I agree with you, the fire station is aged, it is getting tighter, going to 14,000, it has to be expanded at some point in time, and the fire service is going to change there as well. We can't outsource the fire service. We can't go somewhere else and say, let's get a fire service. So we're going to have to do something with that building there. Maybe putting the police and the fire together is a good idea, but expanding that service so that the costing is a little bit more than just the urban, maybe to our rural neighbors, working with people. So we looked at it once before, many years ago. Randy and I were on that committee because a report came out making that as a suggestion that time, that we should join up with Orangeville and should, and we were looking at Amherst, I believe, at that time as being that because you had to take with us so that we would have a service combined together. So that is another opportunity that we should look at. Subsinco did that. They have their own police service over there. So a maybe different solution may be the way to go. And if Orangeville's willing to go in that direction, that's something that we should at least explore.
Okay. Wait. Just one final comment. Where you left off, Your Worship. I mean, the fact is there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I think that's why it's critically important to keep our eye on the ball here, and as I said, keep perspective on what this motion is. And this motion isn't asking to answer all those questions or asking us to decide tonight whether to stick with the Shelburne Police Service or go to OPB. What it simply asks us to do is to collect the information that we need that will hopefully help us answer some of those questions so that we can make an informed decision when it comes time to do that.
You're asking for a costing at the end.
Well, we don't know until we have the information. How can you decide on something until you have the information?
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Order, fellas, order.
Getting on a room. Chris Overcast.
We have to score.
Is there any other discussion? Any other questions? Comment? Ready to vote?
No.
I just would ask for a recorded vote.
Okay, fair enough. The last comment I want to make, I know we have some ladies and gentlemen here of Shelburne Police Service. I just want to make sure that you hear from me that this is in no way, the results of this vote are in no way an indication that we are unhappy with the level of service we enjoy from Shelburne Police. It is police station problem that we have around this table and one we're trying to address. So I wanted you to hear it from me, and I don't know if I touched on it in my notes, but the last point I have, I guess, is that I'm concerned for the morale of our officers. I know that Orangeville lost two going through their costing process. Two of their top officers, because at the end of the day, that's their employer, and if every 18 months we come back to the table with a request similar to this, I wouldn't be surprised if some decided to go elsewhere and you don't want to do that. So I'd like to make sure that you have our sincere appreciation of what you do coming from it. So thank you for that. Okay, any other comments? Randy?
So, yes, I'm going to vote on this not the way I want to. So I'll tell you up front. I'm going to vote for it only because I want the information. In the end, I think I'll probably vote against OPP.
Sure.
But I want to see what it is. If anything's absolutely, it's in the ballpark, I'd stick with our local police. But if there's, $2 million on the table, we got to know that. We just got to make an informed decision. Fully support the town police. I think in the end, that's why I was asking the question about the town staff and all that kind of stuff, because I hate going through all this whole exercise. In the end, I know I'm going to vote against OPP coffee, but it would really have to knock my socks off to make any impact on me whatsoever. But I share Ken's concern about the new police act that's coming out, and certainly hear a lot of things about that, and we know we are a small police force, and we're being forced to comply with more and more stringent regulations and training and all these type of things and equipment. So you got to wonder what's the future of a small police force in the province of Ontario. I'm not sure we're sure about that, and we won't know that until then. So for now, just not because I want to, but just because I think I owe it to the taxpayers of Shelburne and to make an informed decision. I would vote for the motion, but in the end, I think it'd be taken off for me to actually vote for an OPP cost when it comes down that road, potentially in the future. So, my two cents.
Okay, any further comments, Jeff?
So I think, given the comments around the general input that I'm getting from the public, I just wonder if my focus should be on accommodation for the police rather than looking for something else. I wonder if we've done all that's possible in that area, perhaps there's more work to be done in terms of having alternatives rather than two or three that we have. The process that happened with the CDRC, which was another body making a more economical choice. change some minds if we knew that we weren't talking $5 million, perhaps. Substantially less than that. If there was that opportunity. I don't know how we get there.
And that's the question I'm trying to answer for you is I don't know how we get there because I did sit on the accommodations subcommittee and I would consider that was a level playing field for all options using industry pricing for cost per square foot and then construction costs and kind of things. And so I'd sure love to investigate your suggestion. I just don't know how we go about it.
And I understand different, and I've sat on two committees and had the same concern, but we've had two consultants give us basically the same information. We've had the chief, correct me if I'm wrong, support it with other buildings that have been built recently that meet police standards. The pricing of those have been right in this ballpark as well. So, and again, the guidelines and the regulations are much more stringent than they used to be than they are today. And so I think I've heard enough to say within the ballpark, you know, we're $5-6 million for a police station that meets current standards of the Ontario Police, whatever the regulating body is. So two consultants and supporting information from other sites that have been built. I'm not sure what else we can do. We're not to the point where we can say, well, gee, move that wall. We're talking in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, not within the, let's change $5,000 here or there. That's my concern. And I really worry about we've been sitting, and if you listen to the chief, he's saying, and feel free to correct the chief, we can't sit on this forever. And he's already sitting for 2 years late. and we're just going to stall again. Not against what you're saying, Jeff, but I haven't heard. So what are we going to do? Like, we got to do something.
Well, given the vast amounts of money that we're talking about, I wonder if we should put one more try into finding something that's perhaps more cost-effective.
What's your recommendation?
Well, I don't know where we could go with this. I'm looking for some guidance. Theoretically, I suppose we could table this motion, but I don't know that there's room.
Well, I guess the question right now is, if there's anyone else on the table,
well, and you know, I'll second the motion to table, but it's up to the will of council. I mean, because after our discussion tonight, and after it gets into the press, and we get individuals in the room that have vested interest in it, I'd like to hear that input as well. So, I mean, I just hear what I hear for my friends and whatnot, but I want to make a decision that's best for the town of Shelburne. If I'm off base, I want to hear it, but this gives a chance for a second sober thought or whatever. Because certainly it is perceived, if this motion is passed, even though I kind of would wait, just exploring, that's all we're doing. We're not making a decision, but it's perceived that we're going against the police. I don't believe that, but I want to make that clear. So if somebody wanted to table it to the next meeting, for absolute discussion at the next meeting, I would second that. But
Wade, Dan? In terms of tabling it, to be honest, I'm not sure what kicking the can down the road another week is going to accomplish. And Jeff, I mean, with respect, I guess my only concern is, you know, we have had reports from two consultants, and we've also had reports from two different iterations of accommodation subcommittees. And each time a report comes to council, the price is going up, not down. So, you know, I'm not sure what more study work is going to do at this point other than inflate the numbers that are already in front of us. And I agree with Randy that, you know, unfortunately it's decision time, and that's what we're elected to do is make decisions and you know, not defer the inevitable. So I think we have to make a decision based on what we actually believe and try to get some more information so that the ultimate decision will be well informed.
Yeah.
I was just going to just basically just kind of say what Greg was saying there. I think this is the beginning stages of the moving forward with what we're trying to accomplish. Without moving forward with this and trying to do something else, we don't have all the information in front of us. Eventually, this has to come to the table anyways to look at what we're going to do. I don't think we can make an uninformed decision about what we're going to do in the future without having all the information in front of us. So I think it's something we have to move forward with. I think just kind of trying to delay it and delay it and delay it, we're just going to get to the end we're going to get stuck again. So to me, we got to move forward. We got to move forward now with it to know what we need to do in the future.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, just a question for the clerk. What's the mechanics of tabling the motion? Is that done by motion itself, or does that require the secretary's consent to table the motion?
That's correct. So to write a resolution to table this motion, it can't be voted on. What you do is you take this motion, you verbally vote to table it, not a written to table it.
Well, just a question to the clerk as well. When you table a motion, it's not debated, it's just voted on?
So you're tabling it for further discussion, for debate at a next meeting?
Sorry.
You're tabling it for further discussion and debate at a next meeting?
Yeah, but it's not debated at this point. It's just voted on, am I correct?
You're voting to table this notice.
It's just voted on, not debated.
And it's a verbal.
And if it's got a mover and a seconder, that's all that's required, just a vote.
It has a mover and a seconder. As long as the mover and a seconder are in agreement to have the motion tabled, and then the vote is tabled.
Do they have to be in agreement?
All right. Well, certainly, I know there's some discussion, a lot of discussion about tabling the motion. I do want to give Councillor Rose credit for introducing his notice of motion. That's given me a week to do my homework so that I'm prepared to vote. And so I would like to see some action on it, but I'm only one of seven. So,
Steve.
Yeah. As the new guy, I also want to say that I, as a person who's relatively new to the town, and this is going to sound like excessively greasing the wheel, but I also certainly appreciate what the Shelburne Police has done. But I also want to thank Wade for having the courage of putting his name behind this notice of motion, because at the end of the day, as many of us have said, is that our responsibility is really to the taxpayers. We all have our emotional connections to issues that are raised before council, but at the end of the day, we were elected and we were appointed to make sure that we're making decisions in the best interest of the people that reside in the town. What Wade has put forward is something that will just give us the option, something to look at, something to consider. As he eloquently said, it's not something that we have to decide on if we do it, but it's making sure that our due diligence is there and that we can look at the taxpayers eye to eye and say, listen, we've considered all the options and we decided to go with either A or B. So I guess with my comments, I'm sort of putting my cards on the table with respect to how I'm going to vote on this motion, but I just want to say that it's nothing against sort of what Shelburne Police has done and what I'm sure they'll continue to do, but it's just looking at all the options. And so just with respect to the tabled motion that's circulating around, again, I also agree that it seems like we're delaying the inevitable. I think as the Chief has already pointed out, a decision has to be made now. I think we have to be decisive. It seems like this has been, as they put it, it's kicked around for quite some time, long before I got here, and I don't really see the reason of delaying that even further. So I think it's time we show the public that we're big enough, we're bold enough to make important decisions. And at the end of the day, all we're asking is to look at the available options. So those are my comments.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? So back to the original motion. The discussion on tabling, the mover and seconder both have to agree. Mover and seconder?
I'm not prepared to table.
Working.
Councilor Chambers?
Yes.
Deputy Mayor Dunlop?
No.
Councilor Anderson?
Yes.
Councilor Mills?
Yes.
Councilor Sample?
Yes.
Mayor Bennington?
Yes.
Motion passed.
The line item on the agenda talks about 2018 budget discussions. I'll read the motion and I guess that was first in discussion. Mover and second by Steve. Be resolved that the treasurer be directed to bring forth a bylaw to adopt the 2018 budget as amended through discussion and deliberations held November 13th, 20th, and 27th, 2017. Any discussion?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part. I was thinking about please. I apologize.
All right, let me back up. So on there, the agenda, it lists 2018 budget discussions as the line item. But the motion reads, moved by Randy, second by Steve, be resolved that the treasurer be directed to bring forth a bylaw to adopt the 2018 budget as amended through discussion and deliberations held November 13th, 20th, and 27th, 2017. So, was there any further budget discussions?
Well, Kerry, I have to get your hand up first.
I was just going to update council on the one change that has occurred since the last meeting, which is the additional library expense, $2,867, and I took that from reserve. So I've lowered the amount transferred to reserve in 2018 in order to accommodate that new figure that the library has provided us with. And that is the only change that I made. I realized there was a motion for advertising, but staff felt that it could be incorporated into the line item that we have currently set aside for advertising, and that a policy is currently being reviewed to bring forward to council regarding.
Okay, great, sure.
So I kind of